Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony.
Go BBS Radio.
Tuned in to the Tony Sands Show, another week of what it is when it comes to sports and life. We're giving it to you. And today's show is no different when it comes to sports and life. I'm telling you, some things get misused. Some people say this, some people say that. Some people even poke at the bear when they know they shouldn't. They know they are not at that level to poke at the bear. Listen, the Jets got a big decision to make when it comes to the quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers done for the year. They had their hope. You saw them on Hard Knocks. They was gung-ho that this was going to be what it was going to be. We're going to jump into that as we dive into this show and some of the hottest topics in the sports world. We're going to be covered here. And I got my main man, DP. I know y'all see him all on the social media breaking down the sports topic. I had to call my man to get him here on the show. He's decked out in his U gift. DP, what's going on, my brother?
Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I'm excited to be here. I'm glad we got the link up, man. We've been knowing each other for a while now since you're young fella, little fans played with me, man. And I appreciate you. I do want to say you didn't inspire me to get my own song now, though. You got a whole song. I got to get my own song. You got a whole theme song.
Listen, the dude made me, you know, because I do a lot of shows at different restaurants down here in South Florida. And one of my producers ran into a rapper and they said, hey, man, let me make you a song. Let me jazz it up a little bit. As a matter of fact, the same rapper is producing another track. Like I told him, hey, Mike and Skip can have a song. I want my own song. I want to hear my name buzzing across the show, man. DP, we've been getting into some topics. DP, when you talk about a lot of things in the world of sports, we're going to dive into what's going on in Michigan State. You broke it on your social media, one of the guys that broke it, and that's how really I started digging into it and digging a little deeper. Man, how... That whole thing there, man, you got to understand, people that are just now joining the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. You're with my guy that's with me today. DP is joining the show today. He's live from Texas. Yeah, he do have a U shirt on. He do have Kansas ties, but he is a Florida guy. He loves the U. He's all about the U. And you do play tonight. They play with Thune, but we understand what that's going to be. But let's dive into Michigan State, man. When you heard this, what came to your mind when you first heard of this situation?
First thing when I seen it was like, why even play with that fire, man? I understand being a former college athlete. Actually, one of my coaches had to sue the University of Kansas because they tried to fire him with cause. And then they did that, did not pay him. He sued and he won. So when I seen this, first thing I thought of, one, is, like, you can't be playing with that fire regardless. Correct. But I also know that in the grand scheme of things, this school, Michigan State, was looking to get from under that contract. $95 million, you weren't performing. So this was just an easy alley-oop for them to try and get you up out of here. When you bring somebody in any job, right, when you pay them to come, when you come – have them come advocate, when you're doing just business to business, the last thing you want to do is get in a relationship with them in any type of way that isn't business. Especially man to woman, right? that power dynamic of him being the head coach, her being somebody that they brought in, him being a man, her being a woman, nothing looks good for that dynamic ever. And once I seen that pop up, I said it doesn't matter if it was consensual. It doesn't matter if she wanted to have that relationship in any type of way. You're a married coach from Michigan State. This is a business-to-business transaction. And whoever crossed the line first, it doesn't matter. You as the head coach have to keep that away from you. And it just is what it is at this point for him. Like, it sucks, but we understand when you're in a power position, anything like that, once you cross that line, it's always going to, the axe is always going to come down on you.
And my father, before he passed, always used to say, you cannot eat and use the bathroom in the same place because it's going to start smelling sooner or later. And for those that are joining the Tony Sands Show, we're talking about what's the bombshells that's going on at Michigan State. As a matter of fact, Thomas, can you play soundbite two? And can you play soundbite two for me?
Local 4 News starts now with a breaking news alert.
Breaking news in the sexual harassment scandal that has rocked Michigan State University. Suspended MSU football coach Mel Tucker now responding to those claims through his attorney. He has released this 2-page statement that details his timeline of events over the last 2 years. It tops our news tonight at 6. Good to have you with us. I'm Devin Skillian.
Good evening. I'm Karen Drew in for Kimberly Gill tonight. Sean Lay has been reading through that statement since we received it about 2 hours ago. Sean, there is a lot of information that he shares in that statement.
And now, Karen and Devin, a brand new statement from the university interim president here, Teresa Woodruff. We've been here trying to dig, asking this question all day long. Who knew what, when about these disturbing allegations against their coach? Why did MSU suspend him and only talk about this after USA Today dropped that bombshell report yesterday? Well, the interim president answering some of those questions, she and the athletic director became aware of the disturbing allegations in December. A Title IX investigation took about 8 to 9 months, got in their hands July 25th, full of information. However, the next step, to be fair, she says, has to be a hearing that has not been held as of yet. No comment exactly on why they came public with this after that USA Today statement.
You are hearing some of the things, and like you said, he released statements saying what she is saying is not true. He's saying, hey, we was in a consensual adult interaction. I'm gonna call it interaction relationship. She's saying it's not. He is saying it is. Michigan State is looking at it from a standpoint, as you said earlier, it is a business transaction because she was a vendor paid by the university. At that point, it become in the business realm, and it is a no-no. And for those that don't know who Brenda Tracy is, Brenda Tracy is an advocate for sexual harassment. She's a rape survivor. She was brought to the Michigan State campus to speak to the athletes in reference to how to handle themselves with young ladies. And we find ourselves now at this point of this juncture, and everybody say, yeah, there's two sides to every story. And I'm quite sure there is. But Mel Tucker came out after the bombshell was dropped and said, by click four, saying, hey, this is what it is. This is what it was. But now, Brenda Tracy, he has come back with her side of it saying, hey, wait a minute. And not only is she coming back with her side, the governor of Michigan has tapped into this also, because the governor is saying, why did it take this long to take action? And we got to understand that Michigan State has had their problems when it comes to their head coaches. We understand what went on in gymnastics. We understand what went on with Izzo. They've had a share of issues to where now, I'm telling you, with the governor getting in, and as you can see it, with the governor getting in, now do we start seeing other heads start to turn in this thing?
Facts.
You know, when you're talking about the president, because the president knew, and the athletic director. So now,
exactly,
both sides are throwing, because it is a hearing in October, I think it's October 4th and 5th, there is a hearing. But Brenda, let's go, and we heard what Mel Tucker said. But Brenda Tracy also released her response to Mel Tucker's response. Can we play that soundbite for me?
Local 4 News starts now with a breaking news alert.
Breaking right now, just hours after Michigan State football coach Mel Tucker released a statement sharing his side of the story. His accuser, Brenda Tracy, is responding to his claims that he is innocent. We've been following this story throughout the day and into the night. Good to have you with us for Local 4 News at 11. I'm Devin Skillian.
I'm Karen Drew in for Kimberly Gill this evening. Brenda Tracy released her response to Tucker's claims on the social media app X. The statement reads, "This is just more of the same Darvo," standing for deflection, victim blaming, and lies that I've been dealing with now for months.
Coach Tucker has been delaying and trying to stop the investigative process since the beginning. He can't afford to go to a hearing that determines credibility of the participating parties. I believe this statement is his way of getting out of participating in the hearing, end of quote.
October 5th and 6th, I will be present for the hearing and make myself available for cross-examination by his attorney, Jennifer Belleville. I invite him to do the same, as she continues to state.
Of the state of Michigan responded and say that we hold our institutions, public institutions, to a higher standard. How do you see this playing out with Mel Tucker when after this hearing or prior before the hearing?
I definitely don't see I don't think there's any percentage of chance that he comes back and coaches that team, right? Regardless if he wins or loses and they fire him with cause or without cause, he's fired, one. I know that. Because, once again, when we bring in an advocate, especially in this realm, right, especially in athletics and the things that have went on in athletics and how we try to make sure that our young athletes are treating women, right? That's something big. Every year at KU for two-a-days, we always brought in somebody for drinking. We always brought in somebody for drugs. We always brought in somebody that had a not just drinking problem, but a DUI. We always brought in a woman that was an advocate for sexual assault or rape, right? So we know that every year, those are going to be the four things that are being brought in. With the biggest one that was put into our heads was the woman.
The woman.
Right? Because the drinking is you, the drugs is you. Now the DUI, that's where obviously there can be other people involved. But the woman is you knowingly, and they're trying to say, in your mind, taking advantage of somebody else. Correct. So knowing that and how much that was put into our heads as athletes, the university can't allow him to come back in front of them same young men and now try and hold them accountable when they're going to be like looking at you like, bro, you didn't hold yourself accountable. Like now his leadership has been compromised. So he's fired regardless. Like I said, the only thing he's fighting for is cause or not or without cause. He's trying to see how much money he can keep at this point.
He can salvage and come and try to recover from this. Now this is where this get catchy for him, because now in the coaching realm, you are considered damaged goods. So it's going to take you a while. It's going to take him a while if he ever gets back in the coaching ramp, because it doesn't work out well for, coaches of our color to come back and bounce back from a lot of this, especially when you're talking about the sexual harassment and some of the things that he did admit to. Even though one is saying it wasn't, one saying it is, he admitted to it, so we know it's out there. How they disciple between it, as you say, if they fire him with cause or without cause, and people must understand, if they fire him with cause, that 10-year, $90 million, what's left of it, is gone. It's out. He might as well open the trunk and just let the money fly out the window, because that's what just happened.
And I have to confirm it, but I did see that they said in his contract there's a clause that say they can fire him with cause for inappropriate behavior or things that they deem embarrassing. Embarrassing, right? That is why.
University. Oh, it's done. Because to the university, this is embarrassing. They got to take another sexual harassment, sexual assault, whatever. They got to take another hit on it. They went through this with several coaches. And I'm quite sure now the governor's weighing in, and I'm quite sure the board of Regents, directors are going to say to themselves, we can't continue down this path. We can't continue. We've been treading these waters too long. And we thought we had something that we can get up. But like you said, I'm quite sure there's a lot more problems going to come out between Tucker and his attorney, far as how he feels. And one thing I haven't seen yet, and I haven't seen it on social media, I haven't seen any players come out. Yeah. You know, normally in this situation, you get some players, there, especially in social media era now, they'll tweet something out or they'll say something. I'm wondering, have it been a gag order on them? In this day and age, it's hard to gag a young college
and even
student.
That, there's a lot of former players, because this happened last year. So the guys that graduated, you would expect them to say something, right? You can't do nothing to me. I don't play for y'all no more.
Listen, no one – I know some guys that – I know some alum that didn't even play under Mel Tucker that didn't even want to discuss the situation.
Yeah.
Would not discuss the situation at all, because I'm quite sure, you know, they know – you know, they was going back to games, so Mel Tucker was there, so I'm quite sure they built a relationship with him, but they did not want to entertain the situation at all. It was taboo. So, man, this like I said, college football, it is what it is. We're going to shoot to a quick commercial break. We're going to come back on the other side. We're still in the college realm when it comes to college football. Alabama. But is it them just being college students, or is this the environment that surrounds Alabama? We're coming back on the other side. Was it right or was it wrong? Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show. We're coming back, Alabama.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top.
That's how you
treat like a beast. Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
We're live here on the Tony Sands Show, as I told you. We were staying at the college realm because that is where some of the hottest topics outside of the New York Jets, where everything is going. Listen, I called you, B, and I gave you and enlightened you on a situation that was brought to me when it came to the University of Alabama. And I'm going to tell you something. I know I had not myself, but my wife. When I went to the University of Kansas, the first game we played was in Auburn, Alabama. So to say that these kind of words are not thrown at you, I'm not going to cut no corners. My wife, that is my wife now, she was my girlfriend then. She had just had my first son, my oldest son. Her, my dad, and his girlfriend came to watch me play in the first game. I traveled. I was a young freshman. They never made it to the game. They was just that terrified. They were called the N-word. People in trouble. I will kill you. Get out of here. So they got so frantic that they said it wasn't safe. They decided, hey, we're going to head back to the hotel. After the game, you know, I met them at the hotel earlier that day. So I'm wondering, where are they? You know, we didn't have the cell phones like we got now. I'm wondering, where are they? I get on the plane, I go back. Now my mind wondering what that happened. So, you know, finally, once I get back to school, I called. They said, what she said? She said, oh, we were petrified. She said, we were petrified. Guys with big 4x4s, you got to understand now that was closer. That was in 1988. So we understand. Now here we are in 2023. And we're still saying being told, go back to the projects. But not only that was said, and this is the part that the slurs that were thrown out at these young men was unbelievable. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how Alabama, the players, because we had an incident at at University of Kansas when I was there with some similar, but not, you know, in this fashion. And boy, we put up a ruckus on that campus. A delivery young lady, black delivery girl, went to deliver pizza at the frat house, and something went off. And listen, when it got out, we were coming. We basketball, football, anything that was sports related on both sides was walking to the frat house, and they knew they had to do something at that time. They suspended the guy. Boom. Okay. All right. But we weren't going to just let. So I'm trying to see what. How do you feel? How do you see? And for those that are not joining us and understanding, we're just coming in and not understanding what we're talking about, there was an incident that happened in Alabama when Texas came and beat Alabama, and it transpired into this. As a matter of fact, can you play that soundbite first, and then we're going to dive into this.
You guys are all back to the project. Go back to the project. Go back to the project.
Let's go. Now, when you see that video as a fan looking at that game, what do you say to yourself, and how you process that?
Oh man, that's tough to see, because these kids are out there having fun, having one of the biggest win, if not the biggest win of their career, right, at the University of Texas. And this is the type of response you're getting just for beating a football team.
Correct.
I wish I could say it was, secluded to Alabama, exclusive to them, but it's not. We went to Southern Miss. It was terrible. We see what happened at Alabama.
Yes.
My brother and them played, I believe it was Ole Miss. It was very bad there. If you remember, before the portal existed, Justin Fields was at Georgia.
Correct.
He immediately got to play at Ohio State for one reason. They said that they had found that he was being racially profiled and had racial remarks. That's why he could play at Ohio State the very next year. Because they said he had reason to leave.
See, I never knew that.
That's how why he didn't have to sit out. He was only a freshman there. And then he got to go to Ohio State and play immediately because of that. My girlfriend at the University of Kansas, right? We're in the Midwest. She leaves her dorm room. She comes back. In the dorms, they got the bunk bed. She's on the bottom bunk. She lays down. She looks up. She sees the N-word written all on the bottom of the other bed when she looks up.
Oh, wow.
They had to remove those two roommates out of the university, and it took a while for them to actually do it. So I wish I could say this was something exclusive to Alabama. It seems to happen a lot in the South, honestly, right? But even in the Midwest at the University of Kansas our freshman year, that happened with my girlfriend. And it's just sad to see, like, because somebody's winning a football game or you're just that into the game. No, like, that the game didn't cause you to do that. College didn't cause you to do that. That's what's been ingrained in you at a young age, and that's what you actually think. You can't say, I was drunk. I've been drunk. I've had white friends that were drunk. They've never did anything
right? At all.
Don't blame no alcohol. Like, the things that you're thinking comes out of you when you drink alcohol. There's things that don't come out that you've never thought of come out when you're drinking alcohol. It's things that you're thinking about comes out.
Alcohol makes you brave. And you feel like, now I'm Superman. I can say this. Alabama did come out with the statement. They did come out with the statement that is not to be tolerated. And I think they're doing an investigation to see who it was and where did it come from to them, to their credit, that they are investigating this. They are trying to move forward. And I understand that these type of things happen. And I hope, in Nick Saban's case, because he's already dealing with some. When I looked at that game, one thing I looked at that game before even all this came out, I looked at a defeated Nick Saban. I had never seen Nick Saban walk the sideline looking in the way he looked. I said after that game, I give Nick Saban probably another year. I give him another year. And I found, and I see him at that point pulling out, saying, "Hey, dude." And the word going to be, due to health reasons,
yeah,
I have to step down. It ain't due to health. It is it's a guy in Colorado that is making all the guys around, everybody, change their game. You cannot beat a dead coach nowadays. You got to be entertaining, because now these kids around the country are seeing what's going on in Colorado. And I used to play at the University of Colorado. Colorado was a team back in that. They were playing football back in their time. They was winning the national championships. They had some good guys, Eric Bieniemy, Darian Hagan. They had some good Knavis McGee. They had good talent at Colorado. But I had never seen the environment, the way this environment. And what they're saying, he's already in the first home game, he brought in $18 million to the city. The Nebraska home game, $17 million. To the city. We got Colorado State coming up, but the big boy is going to be the USC game. The USC game. It's going to be, to me, the USC game is going to be the BET Awards. When you look at Deion and you're seeing what he's doing and how he's moving throughout college football, what is one of the things you think that is helping him to elevate his stature amongst the coaching ranks?
I think the thing that Deion's doing is he's being Deion. Most guys, even the Whitehead coaches, once they get there, they're so buttoned up, right?
Correct.
Deion is doing something so different because most of my black friends that are coaching, they fall right in line. Even if they're not even, flashy like Deion, it's like, don't step out of line one bit. I can't be myself. I'm from Dallas. I'm not going to act like I'm from Dallas. I'm acting like I'm from Montana. Deion said, I don't care what y'all like. I'm literally going to be Deion Sanders. Yeah. And if you like it, cool. If you don't, I don't care. I'm going to post about everything. The Colorado State coach said something about him today. And 30 minutes later, I'm going to come back on Instagram. I'm going to make fun of you, and then we're going to drag.
Correct.
I don't got to take the high road when you throw a shot at me. I can throw a punch back. And that's what Deion's doing, and that's what those kids love to see. Because when you see your coach, it's about that action, it gives you more to be like, oh, we can be about that action too.
They about that action,
say
boss.
Something bad about us, our coach got our back, and we're going to have our coaches back.
And that's what it is. And when you talk about the punches, because he's just got another jab thrown at him by Colorado State's coach. Can we play that sound bite? Let's start it at 1 minute and 11 seconds.
There was nothing to kind of instigate this. He just drubbed this up out of thin air and threw this shot. Let's check it out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm what I hear, I haven't met this gentleman, but I hear he's a good man. I know he's a great coach. He has those guys playing hard. I like that. I like that. I'm glad he said that. I like that.
And just for you, I mean, I'm just curious what it means for you each time you do get to face another fellow black head coach on the other sideline. I know this will probably be the only time this year.
Unfortunately, one of the brothers got to lose when you face another black head coach, unfortunately. And you want to see us win. I mean, that's the thing. But besides that, man, it's just tremendous getting this opportunity and allowing the nation to see that we are more than capable of doing a suffice and sufficient and a great job. So I'm happy he pointed that out, and I have the utmost respect for him, truly.
Now, people are not understanding. What he said to Prime came after Prime said what he said just now. And when we look at that, we see Prime giving him the utmost respect. The utmost respect. He did not say it's personal, as he went straight. Soon as it wasn't even cold when he wanted to go and say, hey, this Nebraska game is personal. How do, when you see that and you hear, I'm quite sure everybody, play a little bit more. Let me let everybody hear exactly what Coach said, Coach DeVille said about Deion Sanders.
Now, after Coach Prime said all those glowing things about this young man, this is what he had to say in response.
And I sat down with ESPN today, and I don't care if they hear it in Boulder. I told them I took my hat off and I took my glasses off, and I said, when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother taught me.
I know, and I'm quite sure, Coach, when you go to add bringing in somebody's mama, whether it's directly or indirectly, you directed that at either you're saying that my mom is not, have not raised me, and I'm quite sure Deion kids are probably saying the same thing. Hey, talking about our grandma. But they're not going to take it any other way. When you heard that, what was your thought that came to your mind and ran to your mind?
The first thought that immediately ran through my mind was, I'm about to take those points for Colorado to beat Colorado State by more than 23.
Yeah,
I'm taking Colorado by 50. Because wow. Once you start bringing up character, how I was raised, that's personal for real. Like, right. I tell people all the time, you can call me whatever name. You can say this, that, don't touch me. And one other thing I hate, like I say, you can call me all type of names. As long as you don't touch me, I'm fine. As long as you don't touch my parents, my lady, my brother, I'm fine. But when you start trying to attack my character, that make me feel some type of way more than you probably pushing me.
Correct.
Because that's all you got, right? It's your name and your character as a man.
That's it. That is it.
So when you start attacking my character, that puts me on a whole nother level. And people will tell you, that's probably the only thing, like I said, outside of harming my family that could even get me to move off the meter is you trying to attack my character. Because I've worked very hard to build this character and my image and my brand. So when you attack it and then bring my mom into why my character might not be like that, regardless if you meant it that way or not, that's how I'm taking it. Don't say my mom or nothing. But yeah, Colorado State, they're about to get stomped. And the thing about it is, they might not leave the starters in to do it, but even if we're up 50 in the fourth quarter, let's just say, when the backups come in, we're not just running the ball up the middle. We're bombs away, and our backups trying to score another 21. And I would be disappointed in Deion if it was any other way. I want there to be 3 seconds on the clock, ball on the 50, score 60-7, and you throw a Hail Mary to the end zone trying to get 67.
Yes, listen.
Like, bro, it's uncalled for. Deion's not doing nothing to you. Don't talk about, oh, when I'm grown. Okay. And I hope after the game, Deion walks over there to him, takes that hat off, takes some glasses off, look at his eyes, shake his hand and smile. I hope so.
A lot of people said Deion should have his players come out with shades and a hat on.
I think that's how they should start the game. And Deion should, hey, hold this hat and these glasses.
I got to talk.
Grown man here. I'm going to start the game. Everybody have hats on, shades on, and end it. I'm going to take it off because this is what you want and take that butt whipping with you.
And I'm telling you, listen. How do you see that? And why do you think he needed to say that to motivate his own players?
This is what I tell people. Motivating don't do nothing for a team that know they can't win.
You can only
motivate people that you might not have the biggest belief, but you have to have some belief that you can win.
Yeah.
If I don't think I can win, nothing you say going to help me. And doing that ain't going to help. See, because this is the thing. Colorado, this is what people don't realize.
Correct.
There's football being played everywhere, but everybody recruits differently. Yes. So when I say this, people that have been in these areas and been on these teams understand, Colorado State gets a certain type of football player.
Yes.
They get black players just like Colorado get black players.
Correct.
But the button being pushed by the black players that Deion got, the Dallas, the Florida kid, South Miami kid, they ready. Them kids is ready to snap. The other kids is like, yeah, let's go play football at Colorado State. Them Florida boys is like, yeah, somebody might have to be laid out in the middle of the field at the end of this. You don't want to know. You don't want to poke that bear because it ain't Deion that's about to hurt you. It's the boys from Dallas and South Florida, and you getting guys from the middle of the home and some Colorado Spring guys. You setting your boys up for a fight that they can't win. Like I said, I've been to schools where we had players from, your son, Florida, Yes. KU has guys from everywhere. So you know what a Florida kid is. And then you get a Cali kid. Then you get Dallas and Nebraska. Them Nebraska kids, they all play football the same. But when something jump off, them Florida, them New Orleans, them Dallas boys is ready.
Correct.
And that's no, what Deion got is a lot of them dogs that is ready. And you don't want to get them going because Deion going, you know what Deion also wants to let them do? When we get a, because he already said it after week one.
He said,
when
we get up to week
one, go ahead and celebrate.
Do what you want.
They're going to embarrass them.
Yes, they're going to, like, listen, I don't know why he thought in his mind to poke, as they say, to poke the bear. I wouldn't have never even went that way. I would have tried to say, hey, guys, listen, we're going to let them get hyped up, let them get hyped, and we're going to try to hopefully, we're going to do everything right to try to get this win. We're not going to give them, as they say, locker room bulletin board material. You've just done that. You just put your kids at a disadvantage in this game right out the gate. Because I'm quite sure if there would have been any communication between the two teams with players, you know how you first come out and I guarantee you Colorado's coming out serious. They don't even want to talk to them. They don't want to say a word.
They coming out like the Miami boys in the 80s.
Listen,
they coming out with the fatigue zone. I'm coming out the plane with the fatigue zone.
Listen, I know how the Miami boys you come out because you got to remember, we had Kansas, we got opportunity in my tenure, my 4 years at the University of Kansas, we had the opportunity to go down, come down to Miami and play the University of Miami. As a matter of fact, we were told, and this it's crazy, we were told, as you said, that we were so told by our head coach, Coach Mason, listen, I'm going to tell you, because they had just had a fight the previous week. You know, Miami was fighting everybody. They said, if you go out there, do not let Miami disrespect you. I'm telling you, we gonna fight. So I'm listening at these dudes. You know, I'm telling like, man, listen, y'all know y'all don't get bought into that. I'm gonna tell you. And I told them, I say, listen, do not fall to the ground. If you fall to the ground, they gonna stomp you. Make sure you stay up. Just to show, and Miami used to put you at the end zone where they gotta run out so they could run through your stuff.
That's.
They ran through our warm-up, and all of a sudden, we break out in a brawl. And I'm like, me and Lamar Thomas, we run, you know, you're outside because, you know, young guys don't tend to want to go into that. They don't even want to have nothing to do with it, really. The big guys. So me and him squared off. We looked at him and said, man, forget this. We out of here. I walked back to my sideline. He walked back to his sideline. I said, man, listen, we'll let them big boys deal with that. One of our big linemen got stomped. He dove in the power as if he was diving, and the power just happened to just open up, and he was on the ground. As a matter of fact, that same guy, the head coach used him as motivation. Talking about, now, I want you to, when you go out there, this time, I want you to think about Pete getting his butt stumped. So I'm looking like, ah, dog, now you done talked about it. Now, if they didn't know he got stumped, now they know not that he just got stumped. And I'm looking like, I told y'all, man, do not fall to the ground. That's what they... This we were stumped back in Miami and Dallas. You were getting stumped if you hit to the ground. That was the first thing. They wanted to stump you. So I'm telling you, this is going to be an interesting game. Game day, college, ESPN game day is there. First Take is even taking their show on the road tomorrow. There. With all this publicity that is coming to Colorado, how long do you think Deion stays at the University of Colorado, and what other school can you see him possibly taking over?
3 years. This year, next year, and I think he gives them one more because Travis and his son will be gone, and most of his initial recruits will be 2 years because Travis and his son still will be there, because I don't think even Shador, unless he just somehow becomes the number one pick, leaves. Because Deion, Travis, and Shador, I really believe, doing it for legacy.
Yes, yes.
So I don't think Shador comes out this year. I think he stays and rocks with his boy Travis because they know there's a plan with what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So you got these 2 years, obviously. One more year, that makes the buyout even smaller going into year four because he have completed 3 years. I think he does 3 years at Colorado max.
Correct.
And to be honest, whatever the best job open in college football is, he's getting.
Now, some people have thrown out there that Billy Napier got to get his act together at Florida, because that was one of the main schools that they were talking about. And that's, you know, in the SEC, it is in Florida. You take Florida, got to play against Florida State. That's an in-state rival. And I think Deion want to get back some kind of way, always want to get back at Florida State, but not taking a chance on him, his own alma mater, to where he is in the Hall of Fame. It's going to be interesting if that does happen. He changed the landscape in the state of Florida. He changed the landscape in the state of Florida. Miami down south.
I need him to come to the U.
Listen.
I need him to bring the old U, and I need Uncle Luke on the sideline for every game.
Hey, and if you notice in a lot of his videos, he always said Luke's song. He's always said everything with Luke, because like I said, that was that era of Florida State, Miami, and Luke was pretty much that rap mogul of that era. So if you was from South Florida, you hung with Luke the Campbell. So these guys understand, I think a lot of these head coaches are shaking in their boots, because guess what? What they thought they're going to get when it comes to the recruiting, what Deion Sanders don't want. Facts. What Deion Sanders don't want. And I think that scares them. Why? Because it starts the playing field has already leveled out. We see that's what's happening with Alabama. We see that what's happening at Texas A&M. The landscape is leveling off now, to where now Deion has kind of changed the landscape. He's the face of college football. Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, these guys, Kirby Smart, these guys were the face of college football. Not no more. Not no more. You don't even – every commercial that you are seeing ran on Saturday, especially if this is a Fox game, and I don't know if this week is a Fox game or ESPN game. Either way, it's going to be all commercials with Deion Sanders. And I'm quite sure that is shaking up the landscape in the college world. Listen, it's going to get shaky. It's not going to change. P-Man, I thank you for joining the show. I'm heading out. I got to head out to another game. I'm going to scout and look at another game, man. Thank you for joining the show, man. Listen, you know I enjoy you. I enjoy your segment. Now, my grandson told me to tell you, because I had told him one time, I said, well, Pete, like what you're doing on your little highlights. I've been sending it to him. He said, man, well, tell him to put me up there. Let me see. So I'm telling you, my grandson say, hey, put him up on there. Let him show the world how he's dazzling everybody here in South Florida. And like I say,
I definitely got him. Tell grandson, Uncle DP got him. Tell him.
All right.
I got him. Definitely. We back in the middle of the season. Yes. I'm sure he already making some more plays. Tell him.
Yes.
I got some plays from last year. I know you sent me some more. I'm assuming they're already playing. Tell him. I'm gonna give him 2 more weeks, because that's gonna give me some more plays, and I can get my whole minute and a half, and I'm gonna go crazy with it.
All right. Thank you, man. Hey, thank you for joining the show, man. Be safe. Have fun. Listen. I want to be able to bring you back each and every time that something big drop in the college football world, pro world, whatever.
Hit me up. Hit me up, and you know we rocking.
Thank you, man. Dudes, peace.
Have a good one.
You too. We're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show. I have to run to the St. Thomas Western game to cover that game. It's been fun. I got to run. My man DP joined the show. We are having fun. We dropped it. Nuggets on when it came to college football, what's going on in Michigan State, Alabama, Deion Sanders. We're giving it to you like no other show can give it to you. Stay tuned here. Next Thursday, we'll be back each and every Thursday. Listen, we're giving it to you. If it breaks in the sports world, you can get it here on the Tony Sands Show. We're closing out.